Savior. Faintly they seal again, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph o'er the rose.
He arose a victor from the dark dawn,
he rose from the grave
with his saints to reign.
He arose,
he arose, hallelujah, rise from the rose.
Keep his pride, Jesus, my Savior.
He's all the wars away, Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave he rose,
with a mighty triumph o'er his
foes.
He arose a
victor over the dark.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one on this early morning hour. That's what you look like early in the morning, is it? Great. Don't get to see you in this early so very often. Welcome to each one to our sunrise service this morning, and we're here this morning to praise our wonderful Lord, to remember or to turn our minds back to that wonderful day when Jesus came forth from the tomb, that he sealed our redemption by coming forth out of that tomb. A prophecy from old took place. Welcome as we come to worship together this morning. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, and we thank you for this day as it opens up, Heavenly Father, and our minds go back to that day when the women went out to the tomb, the very first day of the week. And Heavenly Father, as we travel back in our minds with them and we travel along there, and the sadness that we see in their eyes and face and hearts, Heavenly Father, we are so joyful now that when they got to the tomb and saw it empty and so saddened, and yet the day brought victory. What a victory we have in you, Christ Jesus. So thankful we have a risen Savior that gives us hope, Heavenly Father, assures of that because Jesus rose, and he said because he's going to rise from the dead and he would raise them with us. And so we look forward to that day when the Lord will come and raise all from the graves and those who are alive to be with him forever. So we rejoice this morning through your wonderful love and through our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Singing 167, all three verses.
And though my heart grows weary, I never Thank you.
invitation hymn will be 347.
Thank you, Kathleen and Choir. As always, thank you very much. Well, we got front row preview this morning. Oh, that's great. Moving up. Great. Share with you a few thoughts from chapter 16, the book of Mark, this morning. What's taking place here is Jesus has went through the mock trial, been taken out to Calvary, nailed on the cross, and taken off by Joseph and Nicodemus and laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Hurried up occasion and sealed in the tomb, and the saddened disciples and the women that followed had gone back because of the Sabbath. And now the scripture says early in the morning, when just like you folks, some of you folks, when you came, you saw the daybreak, and they were going out to the tomb. And this is what takes place then in chapter 16, according to the book of the writer Mark, and 1 through 8 reads like this. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where he lay. But go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him as he has said unto you." And they went out quickly, fled from the sepulchre, and from the trembling, and were amazed, for they trembled and were amazed, and neither said they anything to any man, for they were frightened. Easter Sunday. Easter is a very special day for Christians. It should be a very special day for Christians. I hope it's a very special day for Christians. It's a very special day for us, I know that. It's really the foundation of our faith. It must have been a glorious day when the angel came to Zacharias there in the temple when he was about the business of the temple, and he said to him that he and his wife, Elizabeth, who had longed for a son and were childless. It must have been a very glorious day, a wonderful day, when he said that you're going to have a son, and he called him John. And he's going to be a forerunner. He's going to go and he's going to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. It must be been a great day of joy when Mary went up to the hill country and visited her cousin Elizabeth. And when she told Elizabeth about being conceived of the Holy Spirit and going to bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, that he would save his people. It must have been a glorious day when the angel appeared to the shepherds out in the field and said unto them, "Behold, unto you this day in the city of David a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord." Those were special days and exciting days and such. But as we read this passage here, and we see the women as they come and they are going out to anoint the body of Jesus, it's a very sad day. We have in the scripture many, many days of just glorious days, special days. But then there's days in there that we read about that's very sad. And I find this one of the saddest days of the scripture is when I see and visualize these women as they They go home on Friday night, and of course, you know, the Sabbath, they can't do anything. They wait, and they long to go and anoint Jesus and give him a proper burial. It doesn't tell us much about what they did in preparing and so forth. We just read that they did, that they went home and they made ready to go. They were used to doing that, no doubt. They probably had did that with their loved ones and so on, and maybe some of the neighbors or so forth. They probably had played a hand in preparing them for burial. And so they were prepared. They went and to do this. And as they went, I see them walking down the pathway toward the garden, and I see them with their heads drooped and their shoulders sagging, and they're not saying anything to anybody, really. Then just one of them speaks up in a little while when they're about halfway there and says, "I wonder who will roll away the stone." I don't know how much thought they'd given to that before, and maybe they thought they'd get a soldiers to roll it out of the way. I don't know. It's a great big stone. It weighed maybe several tons, and so it would take more than just a handful of women to roll that stone away. So it was a very sad day for them. But when they got there and the tomb was open and the angel spoke to them, they realized then their sad day had been turned into victory, a joyous day. They were so joyful that they rushed back to tell the disciples. Perplexed and afraid, yes, but before the day ended, it was one of the joyous days. I would almost say that it's one of the joyous days for the disciples, for those women especially, as they come to realize, because when Jesus came and spoke to them, to Mary Magdalene, how do you think that she felt? How excited do you think her? She probably, her heart probably beat practically out of her chest when she said, "Master." And she realized he was alive. What a joyous day that was. A dreadful day that turned into a joyous day. A very joyous day for us. I would, across the nation, many people like you would be out and be celebrating this resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious day it was. And what a glorious day it is today to come together to just to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw cars, not many cars on the road this morning, but we followed one of our neighbors for a little ways up the interstate, and we don't know where he was going. We thought he was going over to the Ark, maybe. They're having the sunrise service at the Ark, and many people's going to be gathered there, probably hundreds, maybe thousands. We gathered there this morning, praise the Lord. And that's great, and so we don't know where they were going. They went on down the road. But nevertheless, the people would gather, like you folks would gather now, to just to have in your minds and kind of dwell on and think about and visualize what took place there with these women. How sad it must have been for them to go through the Sabbath days realizing we have no hope. Our hope was dead. And when they treaded out that early morning hour and walked down the trail and realized they won't be walking. They followed Jesus now. And I would just say that most of these women and some of these women that followed Jesus were all during his ministry. They were a great part of his ministry. And so they were very saddened that now he's gone and who will we follow? Our hope is gone. But then before the day was over, a great day, great victory, a great rejoicing that was there. Their day had started out with doubt and fear and it had become a day of victory. I'd hope that all the days would end like that. I would hope that everybody would have a victorious day in the Lord, that everybody would have great joy in every day of their life. So today we celebrate the fulfillment of God's promise. That's a promise to redeem mankind back to himself. And true, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, paid the penalty for our sins. But if he had never been resurrected, as we've said before, the birth and the cross would mean meant very little to us. But this put a seal on the thing for us. This was God's promise to bring this one, and he would be a sacrifice that he would raise from the dead, and he would draw all men to him. So he become a victorious one for us. He became the one who would redeem mankind from their sins and bring them back to God. He would become the one that John the Baptist said, "Behold, there goes the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world." It may be easy for us to look back and wonder about their hearts, how that they would be, you know, how could they be filled with disbelief when Jesus said they'd walked with Jesus and Jesus had talked with them and Jesus had told him before. He had explained to them several times about the events. He said, "I got to go to Jerusalem, going to be arrested and tried and crucified, and on the third day I'll rise again." So you wonder then, when they're going walking down through here to get to the graveyard, why their hearts should be filled with disbelief when Jesus had already told them. But yet they were discouraged. They were discouraged and they had doubt. What's going to happen now? Now that he's dead and buried and we're going to finish that, what's going to happen now? But before we get too critical about them, I guess we ought to think about ourselves, oughtn't we? Because the fact, you know, we ought to consider our lives and how many times that God has done something great for me. How many times Jesus has been so faithful to us, and what have we done? We've sulked around in our doubts and our hope and our faith, and we've been burdened down with the things and cares of life. And that's the way they were. Boy, in a great look at that sunshine coming right in there. That does that so many times. Amen. And so they were burdened down with the cares. What was their concern? What was the care? We just got to get there. How are we going to get the tomb open? We got to do a proper burial. You know, Jesus deserves that. And so that was their concern. People today are more concerned about the things of the world than they are than the master of the world, the one who was resurrected to bring all mankind to him. And so before we get too critical, well, we ought to realize that, hey, today, across this nation, there's going to be people trying to celebrate their hope of faith, and they're going to be burdened down with the cares. I hope many people today will go and they'll do as we said the other night and our Sunday night. I hope they'll go. And I know there's thousands, hundreds and thousands of people, and many people will be gathered in the church houses across the nation, and they'll be loaded down with burdens. They're just, but they're going there to try to express their faith. They're going there for some reason. I hope that they'll be able to come to meet the Lord, and they'll turn loose of all their past, and they'll have a new, a victorious day when they realize what the resurrected Lord could do. You know, we just have to place our confidence in him. You know, I think about the women, I think, boy, you know, you should have known. You know, the men, I can understand the men, the hard-headed guys, you know, and so forth, and they don't take in the things they ought to. But the women, they let that stuff soak in, and they understand. And I would have thought those women would have maybe caught a little better to what Jesus was saying. But they missed it. They missed it. And they had lost confidence. They had doubt of what's going to happen. But they ought to have been confident, you know, if you had been there, if you had walked with Jesus, and if you'd heard Jesus say, "I must go to Jerusalem, I must lay down my life for mankind, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to die, I'm going to raise on the third day," where would you be? What would you do? What would you have? You know what I would hope? I would hope if I had been walking with Jesus, you know what I would hope I would have been doing? Sitting on that tombstone out there. I would hope I would have never left Friday night from that graveyard. By hearing all that Jesus said, when you think that he's going to rise. As we said the other night, I believe we said, you know, the people in town, the religious leaders who, and the Pharisees and so forth, they had more faith than the Christians said he was going to rise, because they went to Pilate and said, "We got to seal that to him. We got to do something." They said that, you know, he's going to rise. And he said that the disciples come and steal his body away. And they'll say that he risen. So, oh, you know how they sealed it away. I'd love to have been there. I'd love to have been sitting there in that graveyard and seen that stone rolled away and see Jesus come out of the tomb, wouldn't you? But they had no thought of that. They wasn't expecting that. They had their spices. They had their things. They're going to do the burial. It's all over. It's all over. And their confidence probably is lowered. He came forth from the grave, though. if he came forth from the grave. And I'm afraid today that there's a lot of people that probably no doubt will be sitting in the church houses and they don't have the confidence in the Lord they ought to have. But when you stop to think, here's Jesus, the one who raised from the grave, rose from the grave. If he had the power to raise from the grave, don't you think he had the power to take care of anything that happens in our lives? Sure he does. He knows what's going on. He knows all about your life. He's concerned. He cares. Are we caring enough to have confidence in him to work those things for us? We know he could. I know he could. And I know he will if we'll only trust him, if we'll turn them over to him. Today should be a day of hope, a day of hope and expectation. I would hope that maybe there will be hundreds and thousands of people in the church today that probably hasn't been there since last Easter. I would hope that they would come, and I would hope with along with the Christians, as they celebrate Easter, I would hope that they would have instilled in them a new hope and a great expectations of things being better. Because I know there's many people in this world today that are loaded down with the cares of the world. And the only answer is the resurrected one. The only answer. They're looking to all sorts of things. There's people in poverty and they're looking for welfare. And they're looking for government handouts, and I'm not knocking all that. But listen, they're looking in the wrong place. There's people who lost their jobs probably, and the finances is low, and maybe the house is in jeopardy, and we got to lose a car or something and so forth. And they're looking to the banker. They're looking to their employer. But maybe they're looking in the wrong place, you know. That's the trouble with our world. That's why our world is in trouble that it is. It's because of the lack of the confidence of the resurrected Christ. Who's the power? We talked today that our president's supposed to be the powerful point of our nation today. And the Congress and the House and all that stuff. Who are we looking to? The one party is looking to get the other and all they can of them so that they'll have the power. Who's got the power? I remember Jesus telling Pilate or one of them, he said, you couldn't do nothing. Told Herod maybe, or one of the kings, he said, you couldn't do nothing if God didn't give you the power to do it. If God didn't give you the power to do it. If God did give them the power to do what they could do, you think of what God would do for the people who really seek him. Those who look to him for power. Those who recognize the power. I like what Paul says. He said, I just want to know him. Talking about Jesus. And if there's anybody that really wanted to know Jesus, it was Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul, I just want to know him. I just want to know him and experience his resurrection power. The Apostle Paul knew that power that raised Jesus was powerful enough to do everything or anything in this world. But you know the problem, we just don't connect to it, do we? Robert was talking about an outlet for our electric in there the other night. We kind of laughing about it in Bible class, you know, with the idea. The electricity is in that plug-in thing there. And it's not going to do any good. It's sitting there. It's on that wall, right there in that fitting. Unless you plug into it, you're not going to experience it. It's not going to turn your engine. And that's the problem we have now. We have all the power in the world. We have the power that can speak this universe into existence and did do that. And yet we're not plugged into it. We're not plugged into it. Oh, the power. He has power to raise from the tomb. And he has a power to do anything in your life that you desire him to do. We live in a day when many people don't believe in the gospel. And that's probably one of our problems, isn't it? We have people today that doesn't believe in the gospel. And we have people today that's telling us, you know, that our faith is in vain, that we're looking at something that doesn't exist. I pray this Easter that our confidence will be renewed, that we will we who have been saved by the precious blood of the Lord, we who belong to Him, this world may not understand. They don't understand. They don't believe us, we do. But oh, friends, don't let that hinder your salvation, and don't let that demolish your hope. Don't let that diminish your hope. Listen, those people out in the world just don't know what you have. And I'm not going to let those people out there in the world take away what I have. Oh, what you have in Christ, the resurrected one. And the world is trying to take that away, you know that. Everywhere you look, they're trying to do away. It almost reminds me of Jerusalem when they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." It almost seems like the world is wanting to do that today. But oh, friend, don't let it diminish your hope. Don't let it doubt you. Don't let it hinder your salvation. Our faith isn't something that we can hold on to. It's not something that we can hold in our hand. But it's real. It's real. We cannot expect the lost world to believe as we do because of who they are and what they're doing. We cannot expect them to embrace our faith. But that doesn't detract the power of the resurrected one in our lives. Again, I say, just because of the world has gone the way it is, don't lose your hope. Don't lose your salvation going their way. I'm glad there's a resurrected Christ. I've never been there, but I've had people that has been there told me about the empty tomb. And it's empty. And he is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. Oh, much we hear today brings little comfort. I tell you, you know, and I don't. Maxine listens to the news and the weather and so forth and relates that to me. But I quit a long time ago watching much news at all because most of what we hear today is little comfort. It doesn't give me much comfort to watch the news at all. We're bombarded by the news of death and destruction and despair. That's about all you hear, isn't it? How many got killed today? How many did this? How many banks got robbed? All sorts of things like that. That's all the news is. I wrote a little thing to the paper, to our local paper here a few weeks ago, and it didn't come out. It won't be out, you know. They won't put it in the paper. And I tried to be as nice as I could with it, you know, and so forth, you know. But, you know, I said, I just want to hear something good. I said, I just wish that we could hear something good from these things, you know. And even the newspaper and so forth, the first thing they do on the front page is where they put in, boom, all the bad things that happened, you know. And I'm so put out, even with my computer, that they come up with these, they put on a line across there, and it makes you think that something drastic has happened and it's just a shammy type thing. They tell you that they'll say something about the queen and make you think something drastically happened to the queen and you want to see what happened. Well, it wasn't just a misleading thing. And I have to agree with some of the say all this false news that they have out. And so there's so much false news about Christians and about the gospel. But for us as Christians, we have experienced the good news. And I hope every day in your life that you experience the good news from the tomb. Much of what we hear today is discomfort. They bombard us with all types of things. But for the redeemed, we can rejoice. The good news that our Savior lives. Verse 7 says that the women said, look what the angel said. But go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. As he said. They have seen Jesus. We haven't seen Jesus. You haven't seen Jesus. I haven't seen Jesus. Only with our spirit's eye. But one day we will. One day we'll. One day we'll. One day, Jesus is going to just walk out on one of those white clouds. And he's going to call Christians to him. That's what Paul says. The scripture says, when the Lord appears, the dead in Christ are going to rise. And those who are alive is going to be caught up. I see oftentimes, I look up and I see such beautiful clouds. And I just think, that could be the one. But one day, you're going to see Jesus just step out on that cloud and say, come, children, come. Come home. We sing that song, come home, come home. Then we'll see him face to face. They say, what are you going to do? I like that song that they sing, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Will we be able to say anything? Will we fall in our face? We will one day. This one who they hung on the cross, this one they laid in the tomb, this one that appeared to the ladies on the first day of the week, we one day will see face to face. Praise the Lord. That ought to bring hope to our hearts and lives, oughtn't it? To know that we're living. And it could be today. It could be today. Or tomorrow, we don't know. But it's going to happen. It will happen. And just the thought of it, the fact that we're going to meet the resurrected one, the Savior of mankind, it ought to bring hope to our hearts. It ought to, life is filled with difficulties, but in discouragement, boy, that Easter ought to raise you up. Any discouragement that you might have, Easter ought to bring you above it. Any despair in your life, Easter ought to raise you above it. As he raised from that tomb. Might we be encouraged and rejoice this morning as our minds go back to that empty tomb. Jesus, yeah, he's at the right hand of the Father right now. He's just waiting for the Father to say, fetch him home. I don't know about you, but I hope this morning that is a special time for you as you celebrate. I hope this day is a very special day to you. I like to think, you know, that every day is kind of special day as far as. But if nothing else, I think I would hope that this day, this that we call Easter Day, would be a very, very, very special day to you. I would hope that it would mean more to you than anything in life. Because Jesus lives. He promised that we would live. Our hearts ought to be filled with hope and joy. Filled with the wonder of the Savior. We ought to be rejoicing in the love and the provisions of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm prepared for that day. How about you? It's going to be a special day, a very wonderful day, when the Lord comes, this resurrected one. If you're not prepared, the Lord has sent us, has commissioned us as a minister, as a church, to help you to prepare. So this morning, as we close our sunrise service, if you are not waiting to see this resurrected one, come now. Prepare to see him. It may be today as we stand and sing. First verse only. Of people out this morning to see this beautiful sunrise. Hope it will come to their minds of this resurrected Christ. It must have been a glorious day when the people realized he's risen from the dead and he's alive. It's a great day for you, isn't it? Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the people who are out this early hour. We thank you for this time that we call Easter. We know that it is time that we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the people that are out early to take their minds back to that wonderful day, Heavenly Father, that Jesus rose from the dead. What a victory we have in Christ. Christians should be excited about life and the things of life because of the resurrected one. Help us, Heavenly Father, to show that excitement. Help us to share that excitement with those around us, Heavenly Father, that they too would come to know the resurrected one, that they too would be prepared to be resurrected, Heavenly Father, when Jesus steps out on that cloud to call the children home. Thank you now for this Porter Church family. Thank you for these serviceful, faithful here, Heavenly Father, these that are always here when the door is open, these here that keeps the light burning here in this little place called Porter. We're so thankful for them. We ask, Heavenly Father, you'll bless their day. Bless us as we go our way in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.